Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Synergy Connection Show. Today is May the 9th, and I have as my returning guest, Paul Levin. And you may recall that Paul is an emotional breakthrough mentor and motivational speaker. He enjoys showing people of all ages how to change their life from one of sadness to one of joy and happiness. So welcome back, Paul.
Thank you, Lucy.
We're going to have fun this morning, I think, talking about a topic that you hear a lot of people saying, I wish I could change my life. I'm not happy in the direction it's going. I know there's more out there. I don't know how to find it. Those kind of comments, you hear them all the time, I'm sure. Absolutely. And I thought we spent a little time before the show talking about how companies use something that's called the SMART system. And so some of you that are listening this morning may have even used this. Most people don't use it in their personal life. They use it in corporate life, and it helps them figure out where they're going strategically. But what we want to talk about this morning is how to take this concept and kind of ratchet it up maybe a notch and say that it's a guide. It's a template maybe that you could use. But if you want to get into really creating the life that you want to live, if you want to live with joy every day of your life, then use this as a guide. But Paul and I are going to help you kind of look at living that amazing life that you want and not just the existing life maybe that you have. Okay, so we're going to go with there. So the S in that SMART system has to do with being specific. And I want you to talk about how that looks if you're creating this amazing life for yourself. So how specific do you really get?
Absolutely. Well, the first spiritual law of the universe is that everything is energy. And you have the ability, in fact, quantum physics shows us through an experiment called the double slit experiment, that you have the ability to manipulate energy and create things that you want in your life. Now, the very first way to do that is to start with a thing called intention. Now, what the heck is intention? Dr. Wayne Dyer used to talk about it. He has a tape series called The Power of Intention. Mm-hmm. I listened to it dozens of times, and he never told me what intention was in that series. Well, here is the definition of intention. Ask yourself the question, what do I want? That's basically your intention. Uh-huh. To be more specific, it's your predominant thoughts is what your intention is at the moment. So when you want something, the universe, the spiritual law of getting it says, be specific about what you want. Write it down. Uh-huh. And when I say be specific, I mean, like, suppose you want a relationship and you want a particular, you want a guy. Oh, I'm too loud. Okay. All right. You want a particular guy. And you can start writing down the character traits of this guy that you want.
That you want to be?
That you want to be or in a relationship. I'm talking to a girl maybe now.
Oh, okay.
And she wants a particular relationship with a kind of a guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a specific person. But what is it about each person that you like that you want? That's your intention. And start writing these down. Make a long list of everything you want, because that's how the universe knows what to bring you.
Right. So if I'm familiar with that part, because when I was in college, we used to actually talk about things like that. Like, who do you want to date? And it would be so ambiguous. Like, well, I want him to be nice to me.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does nice mean?
Right. What does that look like?
Right. I want him to have goals in his life. Well, what kind of goals? I mean, one person might be a motorcycle rider, and his goal is to travel the United States on a bike, and somebody else's goals might be to be a brain surgeon. So, I mean, being specific obviously helps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On that particular one, I would say first look at the goals that you have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Before you even start worrying about somebody else's goals, right?
Right.
And then you could write down on that list, I want his goals to be in alignment with mine. Here are mine.
Right, right, right. But the gal or, you know, that might be writing that down, she's thinking, I want goals to mean that he takes care of me financially.
Right.
And so that would be the specific.
Totally.
But beyond that, it could also mean, you know, well, what does that mean? You know, because he might be able to take care of you financially as this career, and maybe she has in mind, no, I want to live in this kind of home. So it kind of keeps working at being more and more specific as to what does this really mean to you.
Right, right. The more specific you are, not only does it make it easier to recognize when something shows up that, oh my God, that's what I've been looking for,
mm-hmm.
It also makes it easier for you to say, that's not what I'm looking for,
right.
And dismiss it.
Right, right, right. We have a mutual friend that loves to travel around the world, and he is so amazing at being quite specific as to what he wants to bring into his world. And it works better and better and better for him all the time.
The more you practice it, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual law of the universe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So if somebody were being specific, besides writing things down, what else do they need to be doing?
Well, you had actually, I think this is where you're headed. You had asked me a question earlier. Well, suppose you don't know what you want.
Right.
Suppose you're sitting there with a blank sheet of paper and a pen. And Paul said, be specific, and you haven't a clue what to write down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you have an assignment. And I actually got this assignment here from Abraham Hicks. You can Google that name. Here's the assignment. Your assignment is to go through life looking for what you like, mm-hmm. what you want more of. So you see something you like, and you say, I like that. I want more of that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Or you see something you don't like. Mm-hmm. I want less of that in my life.
So I'm going to ask you a question that I think a lot of people will relate to right this minute. If I want more in my life that just makes me happy, feel peaceful, then I would be writing those things down.
Yeah.
But in a good many people's personal reality, they are so caught up in the politics right now that they are listening to, Googling about that. And if that makes them upset, then probably it's not such a great idea to keep pulling more of that in, even if maybe they feel, because I had breakfast with somebody the other day, and she's on the news a lot, and she gets very, very upset as she listens to it. And so I was just thinking as I was having breakfast with her, that doesn't help you feel more peaceful inside.
No.
To continually be on some sort of a broadcast hearing about what's going on. And yet, the comment that she made at breakfast was that when she was a little girl, they used to do this all the time. Her family would talk about national and international news. And so I think you and I talked briefly about this before the show started, you know, that your personal narrative. And so her personal narrative was, I need to be informed about what's going on.
Gotcha.
In the world, because that's what I did as a little girl. In reality, doing it at this moment in time with all of our technology only further creates, I would say, a negative environment for her to live in.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. And yet she doesn't want to be there. But I don't think she understands that a lot of what she's doing is helping to create that for her. So how would you address that? What would you tell somebody that maybe they could do a little differently and still be informed? And not totally, you know, like go live in the woods. So,
the first place I'd like to go with that question is to the spiritual realm first. Mm-hmm. And that is, remember before I said the more accurate definition for intention is your predominant thought.
Uh-huh.
So what is her predominant thought?
I want to be informed.
Even more than that. It's that guy is a SOB and that guy's an idiot. And oh my God, I could do so much better than that guy over there. And I can't believe what they're doing XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
Right? These are her predominant thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Law of the universe says what? Whatever your predominant thought is, with emotion, you'll create it. So I suspect she's not living the life she wants to be living right now either.
No, she's not.
Okay. Hence, she's creating a life that she does not want.
Right.
From what? Her predominant thoughts.
Right.
Okay. Now, yes, we have a. She has a thought, a programming. Her mind has been programmed by her parents, by her childhood.
Mm-hmm.
That she needs to be informed.
Mm-hmm.
And the degree that she needs to be informed has whatever degree was programmed in there by her parents when she was a child.
And it might be hard for her to actually give some of that up.
Oh, it's real easy.
Is it?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, because it's just programming.
Right.
The mind is a computer.
Right.
No different than a PC or a Mac, okay?
So program it differently.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And then, so when you get into the physical realm, then we have a half a dozen or so techniques for reprogramming the mind. Because her compulsion to be informed is a habit.
So maybe part of what she could do, and I'm just thinking out loud with you here on this, is, yes, it's good to be informed. But maybe instead of focusing on the doom and gloom, because that seems to be who can be the most sensational in their broadcasting. So whether it's Fox News or whether it's CNN or whether, I don't find it as true for like public broadcasting or the British broadcasting system, but all of our systems here are pretty much sensationalized. So she could either choose a different network to listen to that is less upsetting to her.
Totally.
Or she could have like a little mantra, and we've talked about mantras in the past, that life is improving. It could be something that short where even though she's hearing things that upset her, if she has that belief behind it, then she'll begin to look for the small nuggets of improvement.
Yes.
And that might help.
Yes. Well, and mantras or affirmations is one of the techniques for reprogramming the mind.
Right.
Absolutely. And what is the purpose? What's the purpose of reprogramming the mind? It's to create a new belief.
Right.
All right? Because once you have that new belief that things are improving, well, all of a sudden, reality begins to change.
Mm-hmm.
Now we notice the things that are improving more and more.
Mm-hmm.
We will take actions that will put us in the places where we get to see things improving more and more.
Right. And that goes back to that awareness that you and I were talking about, that when you are suddenly more aware, you see those things.
Totally.
And so that's an interesting part. All right, so the next part of that word smart has to do with measurement.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of leads into the awareness, I think, maybe. You know,
absolutely. I mean, measurement, I don't know. I guess personally, well, here's what I would say about measurement. It's not so much the measuring, per se, but I would definitely say when things occur that are good, positive, what you want, even if they're teeny, even if this is an amazing cup of iced coffee, celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
Point it out. Notice it.
Mm-hmm.
The more you celebrate the things that you perceive as good, the more good things you will have in your life that you perceive as good.
Right, right. So that is a little bit along the line. A lot of times we talk about mindfulness on the show or gratitude.
Yes.
And so that kind of fits in there.
Totally.
That the measurement could be how many things in your day do you stop and actually say, I'm grateful for this.
Amen. Yes.
So you will get more of what you want by doing that.
Absolutely. In fact, there is a challenge that I was that I'm doing a little bit informally at this point. Called the Gratitude Challenge.
Okay.
And if you want, listeners, nightly or weekly or whatever you want, you go onto social media and you post something you're grateful for, and then hashtag Gratitude Challenge. And that will be picked up by us and recognized.
Well, that's fun. And that actually teaches people to then be aware.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't have to be huge. Whatever you're grateful for today.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So what are you grateful for thus far today?
Thus far today, let's see. Well, actually, this is the first cup of McDonald's iced coffee I've had in a long time. So I'm really grateful that when I arrived there, there was no line.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to, and I got, because I like to park my car at the ends of rows so that only 50% of the car is exposed. Okay?
Gotcha.
Right?
Right.
And so I had a parking spot. Mm-hmm. There was the only parking spot. That was mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no line,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to get my iced coffee, which is delicious, and be here pretty much on time. So I'm grateful for all of that.
I would say that's an amazing gratefulness. Okay, so when somebody is working on spiritually changing the direction that they have in life,
mm-hmm.
and they want to really and truly understand how it's evolving, then I would guess you would say that you would notice more and more things that you like happening in your life, more and more things that you're grateful for.
Absolutely. I think that there's some underlying concepts that need to be taught, which I cover in my course,
mm-hmm.
that give you the basis to then believe that things are better, that things could get better. It's the core belief that on which you can then build, I want this and I deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worthy of it,
mm-hmm.
right? Without that worthiness belief first,
right,
then everything else that you're going to say I want, that voice in the back of your head, you know that voice in the back of your head, right?
Right.
It's that one that bites you every time you do the teeniest little thing wrong,
uh-huh.
right? It's going to bite
right.
everything you say you want.
Right. So, yeah, I'm going to come back again to some examples that I actually had with clients when I was doing full-time counseling.
Mm.
And I would send them off on an assignment,
mm-hmm.
you know, to let's look at your core beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And if their core beliefs, which mostly started by the time they were two or three, from parents, from relatives, from friends, from teachers, you know, and it went forward. But if their core belief was, I'm a troublemaker,
mm-hmm.
I'm not smart, nobody really likes me. You know, some of those were just, those are the kind of people that would come in, and they might be amazing professionals.
Oh, yeah, totally. They usually are.
Usually are, because they were high achievers.
Well, they're driven to prove that belief false.
It's false.
Yet that belief is still in there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so a lot of athletes, I worked with professional athletes a lot, and a lot of them had anxiety over performance because
yeah.
they could be cut from whatever team they were on quickly if they were not achieving whatever that measure of achievement was supposed to be. And if you are a professional football player, if you're a professional baseball player, whatever that might be, it's a high bar, you know, to get there. It took a lot, and then it's a high bar to maintain. And for football players, which I worked with predominantly, it was the injuries. You know,
wow.
a rotator cuff surgery, you might not come back 100%.
Right.
You know, if you have tendon damage in your knees or your ankles, you know, a lot of times you watch how these players fall and they've got a 300-pound person falling on top of them.
Ouch.
Yes, ouch. And so then they not only have to come back from the injury, but then mentally
yeah.
and emotionally they have to come back
right,
you know, from
totally.
That. So, yeah.
It's that anxiety
uh-huh.
that prevents them from performing.
Right. And they would have the little voice that you're talking about in the back of their head going, yeah, right.
We all do.
You are never going to measure up like that again. And so, you know, it's difficult. It's
well, we all have that voice. It's as you develop new beliefs,
mm-hmm.
then the one of the first things I teach in my course is to recognize, is done through exercises that my clients
mm-hmm.
do, is to recognize another voice.
It's the voice over in the corner that hasn't been allowed to speak.
It is the voice that is in the corner that has not been allowed to speak. It is the voice that you have suppressed for years and years and years. But it's that voice is you.
And so the little boy or the little girl that said, no, don't believe that. You can do this, has been quietly observing and never
It's allowed... more like the little voice in the corner who's saying, but I want that.
And the parent voice or the teacher voice said, no, you can't have that.
You can't have that.
Okay. All right. So we're learning that we can have anything.
Anything.
That we want as long as we can conceive it.
Conceive it and believe it. I believe it was Napoleon Hill who said that.
It was.
What the mind of man can conceive in his heart and believe in his heart, right?
Right.
Or conceive in his mind and believe in his heart, so he can achieve.
Right.
Comes out of the Bible.
Right. And yet, those are Bible verses we don't hear very often.
No. And these are the Bible verses that Jesus emphasized.
Right. What I can do, you can do also.
Totally. You know? Say it to that mountain, be cast into the sea, and it will be.
Mm-hmm. But nobody ever believed that they could.
I've yet to see a mountain be cast into the sea.
Maybe in some other planet. They've learned how to do this. Oh, goodness gracious.
I just triggered real quick a thought in my mind. I work with young people. I work with millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm into that stuff. And I just love the TV show Supergirl.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
So when you said other planets,
right?
Okay.
Okay.
But I mean, watch the show Supergirl. She has no self. Well, she does. You get to watch her go through emotional struggles.
Mm-hmm.
But she's freaking Supergirl. Okay. She really has no self doubt. All right.
So where did she come up with never having any self doubt, knowing that she could do it all?
Well, clearly she has all these superpowers that mm-hmm. were visible to her. So she got it from both from her background. She mm-hmm. left her original planet of Krypton,
mm-hmm.
Old enough to remember it.
Okay.
So, and her mother, and this was really good, in the very first episode or two, it was her mother ingraining in her that she was a hero. That she was being sent to Earth to watch after her cousin,
mm-hmm.
who, due to a mishap, you know, got here before her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To watch after him and help him. But she was a hero. That's why she was being sent.
So she came to watch after Clark Kent?
And help humanity.
Yeah.
But mostly to watch Clark Kent.
Interesting.
To help him grow up. Because he was an infant, according to Supergirl, that TV show.
Right.
He was sent as an infant.
Well, what I'm finding a little bit interesting in that, since I haven't watched the show, is the maternal message. You're a female, go watch after this baby boy.
Well, okay. But in the show, believe me, she is one powerful little girl. She's amazing. She's what I really do love about it, way more than Superman, which I loved when I was younger, okay,
right.
Is you really get to watch her as a human, as a you know, struggling with issues.
What are her issues?
Dealing with conflicts. The episode, I watch TV on the internet, so I'm not watching it live broadcast. I'm somewhere in season two right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, and they're up to season four or something. So, I just saw an episode where it was her boyfriend and her best friend who were held captive on an alien ship that her sister was about to shoot a cannon at and destroy.
Oh.
Which, if they destroyed the alien ship, who was threatening Earth, okay,
mm-hmm.
or what drives me nuts is it's only threatening their city, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, threatening the entire planet,
mm-hmm.
all right? and if they shoot the cannon and destroy the thing, well, then these two people die.
Right.
And this was a real struggle for her. She was under orders to not interfere. Okay, and she has a relationship with somebody who was her boss, long story, and she has this conversation, and this other person advises her to follow her heart. Then she flies up to the spaceship, gets into it, manages to save her friend, and the other thing, and, you know, it all works out.
So I'm going to kind of go with one comment that you made there in following your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because another thing that we have talked about on the show before is, and I showed it to you, I think, the last time you were here, is that inner balance device, which puts you into heart coherence. Mm-hmm. So you're out of your brain thinking things through, and you're doing, you're breathing, you're allowing your body to heal through your heartbeat.
Yes.
And your heartbeat is, and it's all part of HeartMath Institute's research that they've done. So in a way, they gave you a little tiny nugget of information that if we follow our heart instead of thinking things through on some intellectual level, then we can get where we want to go with almost every part of our life.
Well, look at it. Here she was in a conflict, believing what she had been told is the case. We have to destroy this ship. You cannot interfere.
Right.
Is what she'd been told.
Right.
And she's in a conflict.
Right.
Right? When she set aside what she'd been told, looked at what she really wanted, which was to save these two people, she found a way that satisfied both.
Right. And then, you know, since we're kind of looking at the SMART model for achieving the things that you want, if, well, let's just take kids going off to college. You know, we've got a whole group that are going to be graduating seniors, and they're going to be going to either junior college or a four-year program. But how many of those, I'm wondering percentage-wise, I'll bet you that there's 25% at least that are doing what the family wants them to do.
Oh, God, yes.
As opposed to maybe what they need to
do. What they want to do.
Because they're not listening to their heart. They're listening to everybody else say, no, you need to go get a degree or you need to go do this. And so they're just kind of walking down that road and saying, yes, that's what I need to do. And so they're not going to recognize the direction of their heart and maybe have to backtrack. You know, when they're 35 years old or 40 years old.
Or 55.
Yeah,
or, yeah, please. So I'm about to say something that's not going to be popular.
Okay.
All right? You know, it's definitely not going to be popular. You can do what other people tell you you have to do, and you will not be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do what you want to do, no matter what the heck happens. Okay? Follow what you want.
And I think there's two places we can check with that. And one is the heart we've been talking about. The other is our intuition.
Yeah, well, you know, I think they're connected.
Yeah,
I think they're pretty much the same.
Well, they're in different locations, but because I look at chakras also.
Yes, yes.
So, but if you connect the intuitive part of your brain to the heart, then you will have the best connection for guidance that you'll ever need if you just follow those two centers.
What one of the outgrowths of my course is that you will have the knowledge that every decision you make is the right one for you.
Right. And we can't measure that by what's right for anybody else.
Precisely. It's got nothing to do with what's right for everybody else.
And so many parents guide their children out of love. I mean,
yes,
they really do. But they've never learned to follow
their heart.
And they've never learned to follow their intuition. And so as a result, they're constantly seeking to guide. Maybe, you know,
they're in the story.
Yeah.
They're in the movie.
Right. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Wow. All right. So then another part of the SMART definition is asking yourself, are your goals achievable?
Mm.
And, you know, that's where that little voice is.
Yeah, I don't agree with that one at all.
Yeah.
Not even for businesses.
But they have to do it, unfortunately, at this moment in time, unless you're a business coach that's going to take them in a different model, which I would highly recommend. But the SMART method says,
right,
can this be done? Is it achievable? And I think a lot of people that are over the age of probably, what, 45 or 50, you know, it's a model.
Totally going to adhere to that.
Yeah.
Yes, that's an ingrained To judge everything by whether or not you think it's achievable is definitely ingrained, yes. Which is why I love working with younger people, too, because they don't have that ingrained in them as much.
No, not as much, unless they came out of a very structured,
right,
you know, highly structured families, I'm sure, still do that.
Oh, yes, yes.
But, you know, there's a lot of I don't want to say kids raising kids, but you have in the 30-something and early 40-something parents looking at their children going, you know what, sweetie, everything is possible. What do you want?
Amen.
You know, what do you want in
Amen.
Your life? And they're
yes,
asking.
And it shows up in the 20-year-olds. It
yeah.
really does.
Yes, it does.
So, achievable. Isn't that a matter of opinion? Right? I mean, for me, you know, $1 million is achievable. Maybe for you it's not. To somebody, to Marshall Silva, I'm flying off to Vegas next week to, mm-hmm. to hear an amazing, amazing speaker, Marshall Silva. And to him, $1 million is a sneeze.
Right.
You know, for him, he'd be talking about $1 trillion. Could be a little bit difficult for him.
Because mm-hmm. he's a billionaire already.
Because he's already a billionaire, right?
Right.
So trillionaire would be the thing he'd have to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In fact, I love what he's said many, many times on his online program I'm taking is... usually it's the first million that's the hardest, so we're just going to skip that one.
You're already there, so start working on
the second one. That's right.
Right. Okay. That's yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Think big.
Right.
Think beyond what you think is possible.
Wasn't there I think there was a book. I can't
oh, yes.
remember who wrote it. Think
Napoleon
Big.
Napoleon Hill.
Well, he wrote that? Okay.
Yes.
All
Napoleon
right.
Hill. Think and Grow Rich.
Well, that one, but I think there was one that actually had a title.
Oh,
it was
Think
called
Big?
Think Big.
Oh, no. I have no idea who wrote that. Was that actually a title? Okay.
I think so. I think it is.
Okay. Definitely. I mean, Napoleon Hill said what the, and the Bible, you know, what mm-hmm. the mind of man can conceive and believe.
And there's your key.
That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John F. Kennedy. So I realize if you're in your 20, you have no idea, 20s, you have no idea who the heck I'm talking about. But there was a president at one time called John F. Kennedy, and very popular at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, in 10 years, we'll put man on the moon.
Right.
This is back in the 1960s.
Right.
When the idea of getting from here to another celestial body in space was unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we did it
right.
because we believed it. Because he believed it.
He believed it, right. And
right.
people could grab onto his belief system.
Well, that's called leadership.
Right.
That's called
it
leadership.
Is. It is, right. So how do you begin to change that belief system? So I know you have a program that you do help kids, young adults.
Young adults, yeah.
Change their existing belief system into something that will allow them to get where they want to go. But, you know, what would be some keys for helping somebody change their existing belief system?
Sure. It comes back to programming.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back to programming the computer. Because right now, your computer has a program that says, I'm stupid, I'm not worthy, I'm not deserving, I'm... XYZ, but it's all negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to change that program. Now, you can't remove a program. It's in there. What we can do is lay on top of it a new program. So this way, when the operating system goes and looks for that program, mm-hmm. it finds the new one, not the old one.
Not the old one. Okay.
So what's the new one? The new one is, I am deserving of everything I want.
And then the little voice says, yeah, right.
All right, good. So, and it does.
Uh-huh.
It does.
Right.
Now. It does right now.
Right.
So we have to start programming. So how can we program? There's several techniques I mentioned before, like
mm-hmm.
a half a dozen or so.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned affirmations.
Right.
Just say it to yourself over and over and over again.
So
right?
if let's just say that the person hears the voice say, that's not going to happen. You can counter that.
By repeating the affirmation.
Well, not. I'm even thinking of something that, you know, you have the affirmation that you use throughout the day. But
mm-hmm.
if you hear the little voice saying to you, no, that's not going to happen, you know, don't be silly. That you would
Thank
be
you
able
for sharing.
To, yeah. You can sort of discount it by saying, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
But my opinion is that I do deserve it.
Totally.
So it's a conversation that you have with yourself.
Absolutely.
And
yes. And you need to recognize, you will mm-hmm. begin to recognize the two voices.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you'll have that conversation. What's going to happen is as the programming progresses, and there's other techniques that are more efficient than affirmations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As the programming progresses, that voice that says, yes, I can, gets louder and more powerful and stronger.
Right.
And when that programming is at the tipping point, or even beyond the tipping point, you will see in that conversation, you will feel in your body that positive voice step on and crush that I can't, that negative voice.
Now, I know you remember this, and I used it in therapy with children all the time, but I was amazed when I had parents and grandparents read this book to their kids, and that was the little engine that could.
Oh, absolutely.
And I always loved, you know, the belief, which works here, is that nobody wanted to take the toys into the valley.
Right.
Absolutely no one, because they were tired, they were this, they were that. And the little engine, which was a female, but a little engine, said, well, sure, I will.
I'll do it.
And so the whole time she's going up the mountain to get into the valley, she is chugging along going, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. So that's that belief system.
Yeah.
And then when you're talking about eventually you're going to step on the old belief, as she came up
over
the
top,
the mountain,
right?
She was saying, I knew I could,
I knew I could. Totally.
And so that is the message that people that are listening today need to understand about giving permission to themselves to succeed.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, that yeah. No, grandma may have thought I was never going to be anything, but here, look, I have my own company. Or here, look, I've written a book. Or here, look, you know, and you put it with something that you are personally proud of and not be listening to that old message that said nobody thought I would ever amount to anything.
You definitely want to change the message, that story, inside, you know, that negative voice.
Right.
You want the narrative to be the positive voice. Because like we talked before, you'll go out there in life with that programming, that negative programming, you'll become incredibly successful, maybe. And yet, you'll still not be happy.
Well, underlying...
Because the conflict exists still.
Underlying, you're still trying to, if I prove, do it a little bit more, maybe then they'll be proud of me.
Right, exactly. And and you'll never get to the end of that.
No.
It's when we replace that program with, I'm magnificent and awesome no matter what I do, and I'm incredibly successful.
Right, right.
Then now you're happy, and you're also incredibly successful.
Right. Well, you know, if you look at the number of, let's just use performers, you know, in the music industry, acting, how many of them are always waiting for that other shoe to drop? They're always recognizing that they're a success today, but they may be a failure tomorrow because it happens all the time. Or how many use, you know, either alcohol and or drugs to cope with their anxiety, you know, and fear of failure. And, you know, even the most amazing actors and actresses and musicians will talk about this, their addictions, because of that message that it's all going to be gone tomorrow, you know, the belief that it's not lasting. And so you have to shift over to say, no, I'm an amazing individual, and I have success, and I will always have success. Because if we don't define it with a numerical number, you know, like a dollar amount, then you can be successful at any level.
You can. I mean, you know, you could say I'm successful and I'll always be successful, and I make you know, $10,000 a year. That's it. You know, because that's, you're happy.
Right. So find your happiness level.
Totally. Yeah.
And not compare yourself to somebody who maybe is a gazillionaire, and that's what you think success is.
Right. I mean, right now, personally, I live in a 27-foot travel trailer, and I'm ecstatic. I love it. I don't need a big place, you know? It's find what works for you. Find your happiness.
Right.
And know that you can create anything you want.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. All right. So the R in SMART is talking about relevance. Now, you know, if you're taking this to that spiritual evolvement, how would you use the word relevant?
Well, in that context, how is it being used? Relevant to what?
To, if the goals are achievable, if they're measurable, you know, if all of those things, are they relevant? kind of fits into where you want to go in your life. So is your dream maybe relevant to who you are today, or is it relevant to who you want to become?
I'm going to go a different direction.
Okay. That's why you're here.
I'm thinking for the businesses, what have you, relevance is like, you know, is what you're doing relevant to the market? Is it relevant to your product, the market niche, and what have you? For an individual?
Mm-hmm. You're always relevant.
Well, you're always relevant. However, in making the decisions
mm-hmm.
of what you're going to do or where you're going to direct your attention,
mm-hmm.
is it relevant to what you want?
Okay.
Okay. So, and the other thing I would want to throw in there is I want to say, limit the things you want to work on.
So you're not overwhelmed.
Right. So, for example, in my life, I have two things that are the top priorities in my life right now. And underlying that, or actually above that, are things like caring for myself, you know,
mm-hmm.
eating right and caring for myself and getting enough sleep and enjoying my life and et cetera. That's top priority.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath that, there's my business and my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two areas that I am working with, creating in my life right now. So if somebody comes along and says, hey, would you take a look at this rehab house? Real estate is something I like. I used to rehab houses. I'm not interested right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep your name and number. I'll call you when I'm ready. But I can eliminate that because that's not relevant
right.
to the things I have chosen that I want to deal with in my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of lots of things that are not relevant. But when I make the decision, should I do this or should I do that, which one will get me closer to my long-range desires?
So let's pretend for a minute that you're working with somebody, you know, as this coach or mentor.
Yes.
And so they establish where their most important focal points would be. They would actually look at, instead of 50 things that they're
mm-hmm.
trying to focus on, maybe narrowing it down to two or three. And then you might help them prioritize those two or three. So again, their energy isn't
distributed.
Whole, yeah, right.
Dispersed.
So it's balanced. And that's one of the things I do talk about a lot on the show, is the importance of balancing the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, you know, and the mental. And, you know, if you have the physical all taken care of and the others are kind of floundering, your life still isn't where you want it to go. So it's looking at all aspects of your being
mm-hmm.
and then figuring out, you know, what is going to be the most important. So for a lot of individuals that I'm working with right now, if physically they are struggling with their health, then everything else kind of, yeah, it's not working. And so we have to get the machine up and running a little bit better in order for them to have the energy, usually,
to do with
anything else. Otherwise, they are just so wiped out most of the time that they can't think about anything beyond, you know, how they're physically doing.
One of the cool things, you probably know, I also speak about holistic healthcare.
Yes.
And I have quite a background in that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the cool things about the human body is it always identifies its highest priority.
Mm-hmm.
How does it usually do that? With pain.
With pain.
Okay. And the life works that way too.
Right.
Life identifies
right.
for you your highest priority, usually with pain.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really cool is when you then go to holistic healthcare practitioners and you take some products or they do a procedure or what have you,
mm-hmm.
and we solve that highest priority,
mm-hmm.
we mitigate or resolve it completely,
right.
Well, then the body immediately brings up the next highest
priority. Right.
Usually with pain. Okay.
Right. It's interesting how that works. It is. Very, very interesting. So, because I know I do refer people to the Synergy Connection Radio website because there is a company that I do a lot of work with called Boomers Forever Young, and their products definitely work for individuals. We've talked about diabetes, and we've talked about high blood pressure and other things on the show, And those are can be life-threatening, obviously, conditions. And so when you do get those conditions under control, where you can begin to get a breather and kind of go out there and look around and start looking for things that you're grateful for and start allowing happiness to come into your life, you know, that makes a huge difference. So, yeah, it's a balancing act for sure, for sure. So relevance in it, in the spiritual sense, is are you moving in the direction that you want your life to go in?
Right.
And if you're not, then step back and say, okay,
reevaluate
and maybe change your priorities.
I have a friend of mine, mm-hmm. Who she is in her, I think she's 21 now. And she had a handful of friends from her high school days, mm-hmm. and junior high days and whatnot. And just very recently, she had to reevaluate and say, you know what? I'm on a different path than these people.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah,
that's
still
another loss then, because she has to say goodbye to one in order to say hello to something
else.
She
had to allow for that pain of saying goodbye to recognize the fact that I can't continue on my path if I stay connected, as I've been trying to do, to these people.
Right, right. And that is a tough, tough decision.
Oh, it is.
And there are some adults that are, you know, I'm thinking of past clients that I've had, but people that had to leave their careers,
mm-hmm.
people that had to leave, maybe all of their friends mm-hmm. were affiliated with that particular career, and now they're saying goodbye to that, but they're also saying goodbye, you know, to those friends.
They are.
Because that's how they were connected. And so,
yep.
And then in retirement, my gosh, we see this all the time with people that are retiring to different parts of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They leave family behind, they leave friends behind, maybe coworkers, and now, you know, they have to reestablish themselves. You know, how do they go about doing that? And some people do it, I think, quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Other people really struggle and they become hermits almost. But, you know, and what I'm seeing here in Florida, I mean, we've been down here 18 years. But what I have seen is that as the mom or the dad that retired to Florida ages and becomes ill because mm-hmm. they haven't taken care of that part of themselves physically, now the kids are saying, wait a minute, we can't be flying down to Florida or driving down there every couple of months to check on you. We want you to come home to where they're living.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of like we've got 1,000 people a day coming into the state of Florida. I'm not sure the percentage that are either going home because they've died and they're being buried someplace else, or because, you know, a daughter, a son is saying, you need to come here where I can take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another kind of an interesting feature in all of this as people age out. Always questions.
To me, none of it's relevant.
None of it's relevant. You're going to stay young and then die in your sleep.
Well, that, yes, absolutely. Okay. Actually, I think I'd like to go out speaking on stage.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be like at the end of an event, you know, maybe during the standing ovation at the end and the applause, and I'll just have a heart attack right then and there, and I'll go then.
Oh, that would be fascinating.
About 60 or 70 years from now.
Well, that's going to make you over 100.
About 150, 100, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, with today's holistic healthcare, what we can do, it would not be any surprise to me.
Right.
That I'll be 150. I don't think I want to live forever. That would get boring. But I wanted to come back to relevance, because I'm not sure that digression was relevant. It comes back to doing what you want. So, you know, the person who's the hermit is, you know, they're a hermit because that's what they want.
They want.
You know?
And also because maybe, you know, they are not putting much effort into going out. Because there are a number
of... But it's
of
what
them.
They want. Yeah. You know, it's think about that. You know, when, for example, me. I mean, I'm working in my trailer and I'm on the computer, right? And there are days I'm working all day long, right? Mm-hmm. From morning till night. And let's say it's a Friday night and I look and it's 9 o'clock and I'm already wiped out because I've been working all day. And I'm like, do I want to go out tonight?
No.
And the answer is, my body says no. Mm-hmm. And my spirit says yes. Mm-hmm. I want to go meet people. I want to pursue the relationship thing, mm-hmm. right? I want to pursue fun. Mm-hmm. I want to pursue happiness. I want to pursue stress reduction, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, I'm exhausted. I can go to sleep, or I can go out and sing karaoke. So I have to make that choice, and right. I choose to go out often.
Right.
Right? Even if that's hard to get dressed, get in the car, and go. Mm-hmm. But once I'm there, I tend to forget all that.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's 2 a.m., and, you know, my gosh, I need, you know, I got to get up for a show tomorrow morning or something like that, right?
Right.
And it's time to go home.
Right.
But it's, I don't know, it's all about what you want.
Well, and I think that is the definition, maybe, is really looking at your life and making that decision about what is it that makes me my best person. Mm-hmm. And in your case, you know, your best person maybe during daylight hours is to focus on the things you're learning and contributing, you know, from your career. Mm-hmm. And in the evening, your best person mm-hmm. is somebody that needs to be connected to others. Not mm-hmm. just to a computer. I people, generally speaking, don't have as good an understanding about what is going to be their best life. I honestly have found that to be true. And whether you're a young person or a middle-aged person or an elderly person, sometimes just sitting with yourself and determining what is going to make me the happiest,
mm-hmm.
and having that conversation with yourself.
Yeah, take the time, look inside your heart,
right?
Figure out what's going to make you happy.
All right, so we have one final letter to talk about.
Okay,
and that's the T in SMART. And in SMART, you know, using that particular system, the T is simply time. Do you have enough time to do what you need to do to get where you want to go?
Oh, I have an answer for that.
Okay.
And you're not going to like it.
Okay.
Time's not real. There's no such thing as time. Okay. And there's only one time, and that's now.
That's true. The moment is here,
right.
And
there's only one time.
Yeah,
and the past is a memory. It does not exist. The future is a vision. It does not exist yet either.
Right.
The only time is now.
Right.
So, time is irrelevant. You pick your passion, you pick your mission, you pick what you want to do, and you pursue it.
And you're pursuing it in the moment.
And you pursue it in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, I have to look and I say, okay, so I want to, you know, help 1 million people.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't live that long, if I step out your front door and get hit by a bus,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's the way it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I'm pursuing my vision and my passion. So time's irrelevant.
Right, right. I think that may be one of the most difficult lessons for the majority of people grasp.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Because it's one that I'm learning on a daily basis, that this is really all we have is right now.
Is now.
And so what you do with that right now is up to you. And yet we're taught through school. I mean,
it's all about time.
It's all about time, because when you're in grade school, you can't wait to get to middle school, and when you're in middle school, you can't wait to get to high school. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, lunchtime. I used to ask kids, "What is your favorite time of the day?"
Recess.
And it was lunch and recess.
Yes.
Yeah. Or visiting me if they were coming, into my office. But we don't understand as human beings that there's no guarantee we have tomorrow. This is what we have, is right now.
Right now.
Right now. And
The only thing we control is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And everything we control is right now.
Right, exactly. So the doctor who says you have 6 months to live, that really doesn't mean anything.
Could send you into altered depression,
exactly.
and early death,
exactly.
and a terrible remaining 6 months, or it could send you into the trip of a lifetime around the world, experiencing life like you've never had before, and it's 2 years later and you're still experiencing life, and you totally forgot that it was, you know, 18 months ago you were supposed to have died.
Well, remember, I don't know whether you ever saw Bucket List.
Yes.
Okay, so that was the concept of that movie.
Yes.
Is they both have been given diagnoses, and they spent a couple of years doing all these amazing things.
Yes.
Before the first one died, and then the second one had to take the first one to be buried in the mountains.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that is a difficult concept for us, because we do live looking down the road. When I get my driver's license, you know, when I get married, when I have my first child. And Meghan Markle, you know, just had, she and Harry had their baby.
Okay.
A couple of days ago. And she said she crossed off another item on her bucket list, which was to be a mother.
Okay.
And so we establish these linear things of what we're going to do with our life.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, again, all we have is right now.
Is right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So time is elusive, to say the very least.
Well, not only is it elusive, it's an illusion.
Mm.
Yes.
It is an illusion. All right, so what are a couple of things you'd like for people to know about how to reach you?
Ah, me?
You.
I can be reached at my website, which is ideserveaperfectlife.com. Don't you? Just say it to yourself right now. ideserveaperfectlife.com. So that's my website. And on the top of that is my phone number. You can call me from there. In the About section on the website, there's a whole bunch of other links. Come join me on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at I Deserve a Perfect Life. Not the at sign, just I Deserve a Perfect Life. Follow me on Facebook, same name. Look, if life is difficult, if life's a struggle, just know it doesn't have to be. It could be perfect. It could be awesome all the time. And I can show you how.
That last little part about being awesome all the time, I'm going to go back to our mutual friend. And he may be listening, but his life is awesome.
Yes.
And he says that all the time. It's just like, oh my gosh, I wake up in the morning and what new thing is on my radar? He's going to be off. In fact, he's leaving today. So he's driving, I think, at this particular moment. But he's going back to Europe, and he's going to be in a number of different countries where life is always amazing. You know, it's an adventure, as he likes to put it. And so, yeah, we can have amazingly beautiful, wonderful lives if we decide that that's what we want.
Totally.
The decision has to be ours.
Oh, yes, it has to be ours.
Nobody else can make this decision for you. It just has to be something that you've reached a point where you're saying no to whatever it is and yes to whatever you want it to be.
Amen. Precisely.
So that is how that works.
Precisely.
All right. I would like to thank Paul again for being my guest today. For anybody who thought the show would be meaningful and something that a friend or family member might want to listen to, you can go to my website a little later this afternoon, and it's synergyconnectionradio.com. And on that website, there will be a link to today's show. So the live version is always carried as a podcast and a link on that website. Additionally, there are a number of other services that are listed there, and please check them out. There's a variety, a dermatologist that I personally use, an individual who does quantum healing is there. So, you know, just check out the website, play around on it. It's quite extensive. And if you decide to order something from Boomers Forever Young, there is a link there. You can sign up for their health newsletter. The link will take you right to their website. There is a blog that goes into detail about all of their different products. Quite entertaining to listen to that. And if you use the code my name, so it's Lucy, L-U-C-Y, you can get $5 off of each and every time you purchase on that site. So they are happy to work with me on allowing people to understand their products and how to truly, you know, get healthy with your life. So we're looking at the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual, and braiding that all together to truly make this your best life. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next Thursday.